You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Self-drive at 25 miles per hour, hyperlapse your videos, Fire Phone with Google, and more. This is Android Realm Podcast, episode number 230, No Root Needed. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil here. It's a very exciting episode. Lots of back-end updates and our one blast from the past of note. I will jump right into it. So the usual headlines, apps, and devices. And then if the bumper was any clue, there will be a device review for this week for the Amazon Fire Phone. I'll get into that a little bit more at the end of the episode, so without prolonging it anymore, I will jump right into the episode. So to start off with the headlines, Google Play is getting an update to now allow users to have the ability to pre-register for apps. So as a developer, if you want to start gaining or garnering support or awareness for your app, pre-orders will now be available or soon be available for your apps. Google made an update to the Chrome extensions part of the Chrome, where they will only be available through their web store, so sideloading of extensions will no longer be allowed. This week, the story broke that Foxconn is going to be investing in Cyanogen, so I didn't see much details, or I don't think much details were released outside of that, so we'll see exactly what the hopefully we can see what the details are eventually, but If the companies are any indication, it'll probably be something on the hardware side. Google Play Music this week got an update on the website where it now has a more material design look, so it should look that much more bolder and neater on the web. And finally, Google got approved to start sending their self-driving cars out onto the streets on roads of Mountain View so they can now do further testing. Currently, the car's top speed will be capped at 25 miles an hour and will require, or at least they'll have, a human driver behind the wheel to take control in case anything happens. In the official blog post, it did make note that the car itself has not gone into any accidents as of yet. And any accidents that it has gone into were caused by external sources, so hopefully that reassures those of you who happen to be driving near it or are sharing the road with it. But good news on the self-driving car front. That's all for that, so with that I'll jump into the app news. So to start it off, the HTC lock screen got updated with material design, so if you still use it, you should see that update coming soon. The Chrome beta is getting an ability to ensure that you don't download the same file multiple times. So if you accidentally click a file more than once, or if you've already downloaded a file and Chrome realizes that you already have it, then rather than having, you know, file and then file one, file two, file three, it'll say that you already have this file saved. Are you sure you want to download it again? Nova Launcher version 4 was released with a bunch of features, so if you've been using the beta, you may have already seen a lot of the early versions of this, but version 4 has been pushed to the Play Store with a full material design. It's now based on the stock Launcher 3, so what you would get on a Nexus device, so it should have a better integration there. Widget search, a circle app animation for launching, and a bunch of bug fixes, performance updates, and a variety of other features. The app does now require Android 4.1 and higher, so if you do have a prior version, then you'll are out of luck, or you'll have to use a different launcher like Hollow Launcher or the like to get a similar look. Google Fit got an interesting update this week, or a couple of interesting updates. The first is charts, so it should look a lot better there, but it now has a home screen widget, so if you want to easily see how many minutes you've walked so far, then you'll see that. Touching the widget, like other widgets, will open the app itself. And it now has the ability to approximate the number of calories you burn. So as you're walking, it'll give you that rough estimate. For me, it seems a little bit high. So I've seen it, if I've taken 1,800 steps, I get like 2,000, for example. I get 2,000 calories. So it does seem a little bit high for walking just under a mile, so we'll see if that's just a tweak in the algorithm, but they do say it is experimental and an estimation, so It should give a good idea or a general idea of how many calories you've burned as well. For those of you who use the Twitter live video streaming app Meerkat, it is now out of beta, so anyone should be able to install and use it. If you use LiveScribe, the app is now available for all Android devices, so you can go install that. In a bit of the blast from the past, the original developer and creator of the video game Snake released a new version of the game to the Google Play Store called Snake Rewind. It is essentially, or is based on the original version, but it is made for the mobile platform, so definitely check it out. You'll see that screenshot in the episode guide of how it looks. So it has a more futuristic feel, but generally it works the same. You tap the left and right screen sides of your screen to move left and right, or the top and bottom of the screen to move up and down. You collect fruits and power-ups and all of that good stuff, so definitely worth checking out, and definitely a good and fun game to play. The HTC Zoe app was updated this week to now support Chromecast, so if you use a Zoe video and photo taking editor, it should now you should now be able to use it with your Chromecast. In an interesting release this week, though, Microsoft Hyperlapse Beta was released. It's a new app that you do have to sign up for. It is free to sign up for, but it can create smooth hyperlapse videos from new and existing videos at multiple speeds. So using the app, you can either start a new hyperlapse or time-lapse video, set the speed you wanted to create it at, and it'll start recording. If you have an existing video that you want to convert into a hyperlapse, you can do that as well. As long as it's stored on your device, you should be able to add it and make those adjustments. I haven't yet had a chance to do this, but I'm definitely going to try it out, see how the resulting video comes out. But in any case, it looks pretty cool, so it is definitely worth a try. If you do a search for Microsoft Hyperlapse Beta or Microsoft Hyperlapse Google Plus, you can join the community and check out the app for yourself as well. And finally, Fox Now, HGTV, and CBS All Access got their updates, or even if you want to think of it the reverse way, Chromecast got updated to work with these apps. So if you have a Chromecast, you can now use these services and a few more natively on the Chromecast itself. Some of them may still require an actual cable subscription to authenticate, so there is still that rule for some apps to use, but definitely worth checking out as far as more apps being supported on the Chromecast itself. As far as the device news for this week, the Dirty Unicorn ROM was released for the 2013 Moto X, and it runs Android 5.1.1, so if you do have a rooted 2013 Moto X, then definitely check it out if you want to get the update now. I know that the update has been teased. I was reading a couple of articles where it says that it might be coming soon in the next few weeks or so definitely look out for that, especially since the rollout has already started in Brazil. The Google News and Weather app for iOS was updated this week to work with the Apple Watch, so if you do have an Apple Watch and you use Google News and Weather, you'll get those headlines there as well. Android One devices are going to start being released in Turkey, so look out for those. The devices will be developed by the company General Mobile, so look out for that. The HTC One M7 Google Play Edition started getting its Android 5.1 update, so look out for that. In related news, the Verizon version of the HTC One M7 is also getting its Android 5 update. I didn't see if it's 5.0 or 0.0.1 or which one it is, but you should start seeing that Android 5 update soon. In more Android 5.1 update news, the second generation Moto E 4G LTE is getting its update, so look out for that. If you own an HTC One M7, the dual SIM version, the One E8, Desire I, or the Desire 816 in India, you should start seeing the Android 5 update there, so look out for that. And finally, Fujitsu announced a new device called the Aeros NX-F-04G Android smartphone. Among its other system specs, including an octa-core processor, a 20.7-megapixel camera, a 3120-milliamp-hour battery, and Android 5, it comes with iris scanning technology. So I imagine this is for the lock screen or to unlock your device, but it comes with a iris scanning technology which no other device comes with for more security and enhanced eye or visual scanning. So definitely check it out if that interests you. But that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's device review. So as I teased a bit last week, I recently got an Amazon Fire phone for free. So I figured, you know what, I'll check it out, see if it's as bad as the reviews I read about it were, or is there something I'm missing, or basically I wanted to have my own take on it, see what kind of device it is, and is it something that's worth getting, how does it stack up compared to other devices, and go from there. So I will start with the basics. So the specs of the Fire Phone are that it comes with a 2.26 gigahertz quad core processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, Bluetooth 3, NFC, has a 4.7-inch screen. It shipped with the Fire OS 3.6 point something or other, which I believe was based on Android 2. It does have the update, which was released last week for Fire OS version 4.6.1, which is based on Android KitKat. And it also has a 13-megapixel rear camera. I believe the front camera is 2.1-megapixel, which is about stock for a front camera, but those are the specs, so nothing super high-end, but it is actually pretty fast, and is definitely not a low-end phone, but that is actually not where the device itself shines. A few of the pros of the device itself that I like are the dynamic display. So when you're using the Fire launcher and you're on the lock screen and you're moving the device around, you do see that shift in the icons to make it seem as if the screen is still angle towards you, so you get that perspective look. You also get when you're in certain apps that perspective as well. So when you're in Maps and you tilt your phone, you can do a kind of peek to the area around that center location. So if you tilt your device to the right, you'll see items on the right. If you tilt your device to the left, you'll see items to the left. So it's pretty nifty. You don't have to slide around if you want to see nearby cross streets and things like that. You also have the ability to do a scroll, so if you're using the Silk browser, for example, or you're looking at the bookshelf in the Kindle app, tilting your phone up and forward and back will allow you to scroll, so you don't even have to use your thumb to scroll. It does a smooth scroll as well, so so essentially you're not having to keep swiping your thumb up and down. You just tilt your device until you want it to stop, and it works the reverse way as well. In the camera, the standout feature is auto HDR mode. It actually is really, really fast. So taking an HDR picture is almost as fast as taking a standard picture, and the quality is, or at least to my amateur eyes, as good a quality as a standard HDR picture in other apps. So I did test it against the HDR mode in a better camera, and it actually looked pretty close. I could tell a little bit of offset in the brightness, but both pictures were, at least for me, on par as far as picture quality, so I'm definitely going to use it a little bit more. I use the panorama feature, which it does have left and right and up and down, pretty standard there. And then it does let you take a lenticular picture, which is essentially an animated GIF. I haven't had a chance to use it too much, so I haven't had a chance to master it, but it does seem pretty nifty, so you can create your own dynamic-looking pictures. Other standout features are that it has easy access to the Amazon services. So if you do use Instant Video, the Kindle Bookstore, Audible, you don't mind their browser, then doing a quick hand twist from left to right will open that drawer for all the App Store and all of the games and all of their services. So you don't have to navigate around. You don't have to browse through apps or an app drawer or look for what their apps are. They're all accessible there. You can also slide your finger from the left side of the screen to the right to open the menu as well. So if you don't want to twist your finger or are unable to, then you can do that. Doing a twist from right to left or sliding your finger from the right side of the screen to the left will open a Google Now style sidebar. It's not as full-featured as Google Now, but it does provide key information. So you get the latest weather for whatever location you're at, upcoming calendar events, VIP contacts, so contacts that you people you've been emailing with a lot, so you can see that information right away. And then finally, traffic information. So as long as you save your home and work addresses, then you'll get traffic, the traffic times around the general time that you would be driving to and from home and work. So If you look around 4:30 to 5:30 or so in the evening, then you'll see that traffic time. Around, I want to say 7:30, 8:30 in the morning, you'll see traffic to work. So it's pretty nifty. And I mean, granted, it's not as full featured as the Google Now app, but it has that information that is relevant for the most people, I want to say. As far as cons go, granted, since it is a Amazon phone, you're not going to have any access to Google's apps or services or anything like that. But for me, the con is that there's no actual easy way to integrate just your Google contacts. So if you wanted to import them to the phone or the contact app, there's no way to do that. The only way to get around that, though, is to set up your email in the stock Amazon Fire Phone email app. When you do that, your contacts will all automatically be populated and they'll show up. So there is that feature option. If you choose, or my next thing is more of a slightly advanced, but more of an option if you choose to do it. So let's say you do want to go the route of getting the Google Play Store to install Google's apps. You can disable the notification for Amazon, the Fire Phone's stock email app, so you don't see those emails, but it still will sync in the background. But that is the way to get your Google contacts on your Fire Phone. And the other con is that there's no ability to toggle customize the toggle bar, so you do have quick access to your flashlight, turning your Bluetooth and Wi-Fi on and off. Search and things like that, but that's about it. You don't have the ability to add things like silence mode or volume modes and things like that, so it is a bit limiting. But if you do the optional step I'm going to get to, then you can have more options. But for the most part, it's good enough, but it does seem a bit lacking if you do decide to switch from an Android phone, or if you're using the notification center on iOS. I guess it's equivalent to the iOS side, but it does seem limiting if you're coming from the Android side. If you do want to switch your sound mode, so sound to volume, vibrate, or silent, you can use the volume up and down. It gives you normal ring, vibrate only, and silent, and then silent for 3 hours. So I was actually thinking what I would use the silence for 3 hours, but mode four, I was thinking maybe a movie or a meeting, or if I'm at dinner or something, I don't want to have my phone go off and things like that. So it's actually pretty useful. So there are a multitude of things you can use it for. And the final thing for the Fire Phone is, this is not really it is a bit technical, but it does actually only require following instructions. It's really about it. So from the Fire OS 3.6.1, I believe it was, is that you can have the ability to install Google Play services and the related apps on your Fire Phone without having to root your device or install a custom ROM. So it is actually pretty cool easy to get Google apps and other apps from the Play Store on your Fire Phone. What you'll have to do is install a file manager so you can browse any downloaded files and unzip the file you're going to download later. I recommend using ES File Explorer. It works fine. It works good for me. You can unzip files and it's pretty nifty. There's nothing super special about it. It's just the one I happen to like. But most file managers that can unzip files should work. From there, I'll have a link to my full review, which has a link to the XDA post for this. But what you'll do next is download the zip file for the four files needed to get Google Play Store installed on your device. Once it's unzipped and on your device, or if you unzip it from your device, you'll install them one by one in the order that's in my review. The post on XDA also has that order. As long as you follow it, you should be good. My recommendation is, once you've installed each one, if you see the option to hit open to open the app and launch it, do it right then so you don't have to go back and look for and install, reopen them one by one. So that makes it easier by the time you get to the Google Play Store. Finally, once you install, I believe it was a Google Play services, you'll have the option to log in. So you log in. If it's not there, you'll see it at the time of installing the Google Play Store. But once you're done there, you should be able to open it. If you see just a blank white screen, try rebooting your device and reopening the Google Play Store. You do need to be able to accept the agreement for using the Google Play Store. But once you do that, you'll be good to go and the Play Store will load just fine. I did see a couple of recommendations that if it doesn't work, try clearing the cache and data. I didn't have to go that far, so I don't know if that works or not, but this is what worked for me, and this is actually how I was able to get it working for myself. But once you're able to get Google Play Store up and running and browse and search and install apps and all of that good stuff, you're good to go. You can install whichever apps you want. So I was able to install apps like Gmail and Google Keep and Fit and most Google apps, and then I actually did end up installing most of my apps from the Google Play Store. So, for example, besides the Google apps I use, so I was able to install Facebook and Twitter, Pocket Casts, a better camera, Instagram, and all of that. And I did all of that from Google Play Store. Everything seems to be working well at the moment. The only issues I really had was that not all launchers may work well with the Fire OS. So, for example, Action Launcher and Nova Launcher had trouble with the widgets. So, I'm actually using the Google Now Launcher, which works really well as far as performance, interaction, and creating widgets. So, I do recommend going with that if you want to set up a custom launcher or if you want Google Now. Or you just want widgets on your home screen, then it may be the best option. But then again, that is also the one that worked best for me. If you find another launcher that works for you, then definitely go for it. On a related note, the Google search app also works really well, so it's definitely worth installing for the Google Now card, so definitely try that. That is actually all that I can think of as far as that goes. In the show notes, you'll see a link to my full review that I did for the Fire Phone. As far as what I think of it, what my full comparisons or how I felt of it compared to iOS and Android. But in summary, I actually like the Fire Phone. It did get panned in the reviews, but as far as I can tell, it is not a bad phone. And I know it was compared a lot as far as spec-wise to the prior year's specs of 2013 hardware, but the hardware that they put into the phone actually works really, really well. I see no lag, no issues, no noticeable performance problems overall, and everything actually works really nicely. If you want a phone, they did say that if you're in the Amazon ecosystem, then it may be for you. And I do stand for that. By that, if you do use all of Amazon services and don't mind using, for example, their messaging and phone apps and their email client and all of that, then you'll have no issue. I mean, for me, I could care less if I'm using, for example, Gmail or Inbox or their stock mail app. So actually, for the most part, a lot of apps you can think of can be found for your average user in the App Store. So they already have their mail client. They have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Feedly. Those are the apps that come to mind. So those are available. If you want a podcast client, they have a few different options there. So yeah, I think they have like Downcast and one or two others. That's the only one that comes to mind, but they have more or less apps you need. So once you get into maybe more niche market apps, you might start seeing it falter there, but it is pretty easy to get the Google Play Store on your Fire Phone and use apps from there as well. So definitely something to consider. If you have questions about doing that, I can always help. I'll have my contact information as always, but definitely not a bad phone. And at $189 for a 32 gig unlocked off contract phone, it's actually up there as far as comparable phones. So if you find it to be more powerful or more for you than you, like for example the Moto E or Moto G, then definitely check it out. And if you even don't like the launcher that Amazon gives you, you can switch it out and you still have access to their apps and services. And since you do not have to root your device, nothing interferes on that front as well. So for me, definitely worth checking out. And then before I finish it off, I did want to make the note that if you are in the UK, the Fire Phone is on sale at the moment for £99, so definitely check it out if it's a phone you want to get for a low price and it has enough storage and all of that good stuff, so worth checking out. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, if you want to help support the show and the network, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio. And you can help, or you can visit one of our many sponsors to get some great deals and products and services by visiting geek-io.net/support. And of course, you can find this show and any show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.